Turn to John chapter 5 this morning. And kind of last week, I was trying to think of how to. So I had some thoughts sparked. We were going through some stuff last week, and we were talking about in verse 28 and 29 specifically there will come a day when all who are in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of Man. And a couple weeks ago, when we talked about verse 27 and 30, and we talked about Jesus having not only the authority but the responsibility to execute judgment, but he doesn't judge based on his feelings. He judged on not on his own initiative but on the will of God. And so when we're looking at this in verse 31 and 32, we're going to go out through today and kind of a little bit on the, kind of to go back a little bit to last week again. When we talked a little bit about like the rapture and how that idea wasn't in the scripture, not that even the word wasn't in the scripture, but the idea is in the scripture. And we talked about how the coming of Christ all will raise for judgment. And those who did good deeds to the resurrection of life, and those who are evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. But when we're looking there, and this all kind of makes sense as we kind of go through today, we're going to start in verse 31. And Jesus says here, "For I do not bear my witness of myself. If I bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true." And so when you think here for a second, okay, so the Greek word for testify or bear witness. I think if you have a New American Standard 95, it says testify. If the New American Standard in 77 says bear witness. But the Greek word means to bear witness or to testify or to be a witness. Now, when we're looking at bearing Jesus himself didn't even bear witness alone, even though you could probably make the argument, and he does say a little later, which we'll get to, that his witness is true. So even if he does bear witness of himself, it is true. But when we're looking at that as far as Jesus doesn't want us to simply believe him based on what he says. Now, I know that you can say, well, that doesn't really make sense because isn't the word of God the word of Christ and so on. And what the point that I'm getting at there is that there's multiple witnesses, and it's kind of setting the stage for what we're going to be going on. Kyle's preaching next week, but the weeks after that when we talk about the witness of John and the witness of the works and the witness of the Father and so on in John chapter 5 there, is that Jesus didn't just come and say something and expect everybody to believe him because that's just based upon that word. So if you think for a second, if you were to want to start a, we'll use a business here for a second. If you want to start a business or maybe buy something or buy a piece of property, and someone that you know comes and someone you don't know comes and like, hey, I want to buy this property with you. How many of us would be willing to just jump on that opportunity and buy a property with somebody we don't know? We don't know if he's going to hold up his part of the deal. Just based upon his word doesn't mean anything just because he said, well, I'll be a good partner. See, unless there was proof outside of him saying, because if he has to convince you, like, well, I'll be a good partner, then that's probably means that he's probably not going to be a good partner. It doesn't necessarily mean, but it could mean that it could he wouldn't be. And so, but if a guy comes that is proven that he is worthy of that, if he has proven that he's been successful, he's been proven that he is wise in how he's handling that, then it's, he's not bearing witness of himself alone. What he has done and what he has accomplished is bearing witness of what he's saying. Okay, so if we're looking at Jesus here, that Jesus is not bearing, if he alone bears witness of himself, he says, my witness is not true. Let's turn over ahead a little, I guess, ahead a few chapters to John chapter 8. And In verse 12, the Pharisees, well, Jesus says here, it talks in verse 12, but in verse 13, the Pharisees respond to him. But in verse 12, it says, "Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have light, the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said to him, you are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." And in verse 14, he says, "Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and from where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going." And he skipped down to verse 17, and he says, "Even your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Okay, so it might seem kind of like, so is John 8 and John 5, is he contradicting? When, on one hand, Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. On the other hand, he says, even if I do bear witness of myself, my witness is true because I know where I came from. But you don't know where I came from. Now, and really, they're both true. But the point is that Jesus is going to not have us rely on simply because of what he said on earth, for example. Okay, so his witness wasn't based upon solely that, well, I'm the Son of God, so believe what I say. And as we'll see, and again in the weeks to come in John chapter 5 here, that there's other things that bear witness to him. And he says here in John 8 that even in your law, the testimony of two men is considered true, or the witness of two men is considered true. And he's saying that I bear witness of myself, and my Father bears witness of me as well. And then he goes on and he talks about how, in John chapter 8, which we won't get into that, but he talks about how they don't know that because they aren't of the Father. But back to John chapter 5 for a second. And so when he is talking that if I bear my own witness, it's not true, he is simply saying that I'm not going to just say, it's not going to be believe me because I said it, but my works are going to bear witness of me. The Scripture is going to bear witness to me. The Father is going to bear witness that I am who I said I am. And even the Spirit also bears witness of Christ as well. But let's look at this in just for a second. Let's look at in a little, the different metaphor of us for a second. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Now the term bear witness is used here as well, or bears testifies if you have an NASB 95. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, he says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him." Okay, so just think for a second there. The Spirit bears witness with our spirits. Okay, now I know this isn't exactly the same situation as Jesus is talking about here, but the idea of bearing witness. Okay, so we can handle it two ways. Let's first turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 here. Ephesians chapter 1. But there's two ways that people handle, there's two ways that people can view salvation, okay? And we'll get to that in a second, but just hold that in the back of your mind. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." So when we look at this for a second, and this also will get, when we talk about the witness of the Scripture a little later in John, not today, but when we look at what is the pledge, or what is the, when Jesus comes back and the view of our possession, the reason that we are going to have a possession, our inheritance, is because we have the Spirit. And the Spirit is bearing witness with our spirits, as Romans says, that we are sons of God. See, now, a lot of the answer would probably be, and again, please take this and understand what I'm saying here. A lot of the answer would be is that, well, the Scripture says that, and in the Scripture there's eternal life. Now, I'm not saying that the Scripture is insufficient. What I'm saying is that you can take the Scripture, and we all know the examples of people in the world, the religious world. They take the Scripture, and there's no Spirit, and it's all used as a law, and they think that eternal life is found in keeping a set of rules. And that's not how it is. That the keeping the set of rules doesn't bear witness. The Spirit bears witness that they are children. See, if you can keep the law, it kind of goes back to the Scripture reading this morning, where it talks about remember my teachings and obey them in your heart. It says in Proverbs 3, I think it's verse 2. Obey them in your heart. See, if you were to take the Scripture, okay, so we've been baptized, so we come to assembly and we take Lord's Supper, we give, we pray, we do the sermon, we sing, we don't do all this other bad stuff. If we're handling it like that, that is basing eternal life based upon a checklist or just the words written on a piece of paper. But if it's handled in the way, if we are understanding that the Scripture is definitely the Scripture is the instruction, the Scripture is how we get information, but it's the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit. See, what religious person doesn't have the Scripture? They all do. But they don't all have the Spirit. And the Spirit is who bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. The Spirit who bears witness that we have a pledge, that we have an inheritance. And so, go back to John chapter 5 for a second. Now, let's kind of tie this all together. When we're talking about Jesus here, is that he is not just allowing that, or not just relying on the fact that, well, because I said I'm the Son of God, you need to believe that I'm the Son of God. Even though he is the Son of God, there is another who bears witness. And so this, just like the Spirit, even though we have instruction in the Scripture of what to do, the Spirit is bearing witness with our spirits that we are children of God, that when God returns, the reason that we have an inheritance is because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he is bearing witness. So we're not relying upon, well, I've done everything you've done, you told me, God. And Jesus didn't rely upon the fact that, hey, I said I'm the Son of God, so you got to believe that I'm the Son of God. He allowed the other witness of another to prove that he is the Son of God. And as we'll see, and again, we're not going to get into that today, the witness of his works or his Father or the Scripture, because the Scripture testified of him. But I'm not going to get too much ahead on that today. But what I want to do to kind of set the stage for that, let's look in verse, back to John, I guess, John 5, 31. I'll start there again. If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. Okay, so, and we're not going to go any further in John today on that, but I want to kind of, when I was kind of thinking of how does that, what do people look for? Okay, another thing you could interchange a little bit with the witness is that, like, maybe there's a sign. Okay, and kind of talking about what we were talking about last week with the false teaching of the rapture and stuff like that, what is everybody looking for? Now, they're looking for a sign of something. They're looking for a sign of Christ's return, or even if it's a sign of just the God tell them that they're doing what's right or whatever. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. And why I want to bring this up is that sometimes People are looking for a different sign than the one given, or people are looking for something bigger that they miss what is actually right in front of them. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 38, it says, "Then there were some scribes and Pharisees. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' And he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh will stand up at this generation at judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here.'" Stop there for a second. So the only sign that Jesus is who he said he was, that he was going to give, was the sign of Jonah. If you scoot ahead a little bit, this wasn't the only time that Jesus was asked for a sign. In Matthew 16, we see that some of the same things again, that in verse 1, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came up testing him, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And in verse 4, he says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away." So Jesus tells what sign that they're going to get. Jesus tells, another way, what's going to bear witness of himself, tells them some evidence that they're going to see, have the opportunity to see, that's going to bear witness and testify that he is who he says he is, because he's not going to go and just expect them to believe, "Well, I'm the Son of God, you have to believe me." He's going to let the witness, and I'm not saying this is the only witness, I'm saying that he's going to let these other things testify of him, that bear witness of him, that he is who he says he is. Now, let's turn ahead to Matthew 24. Now, I promise this is all going to tie it together in some shape or matter. But last week when we were talking about the rapture, okay, and what people will falsely teach as the rapture, is that the Christians will go to heaven, and then there'll be the wicked will be left on earth and for 7 years, and then there'll be a 1,000-year reign after that, which isn't true, how the premillennialists set it up. And we went to Matthew 24 here, and there's something in here that when we were reading last week that I was kind of thinking of, if you want to call it a sign or a witness of something that's going to happen in here. So in verse 36, it says, verse 35, it says, "But heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But that day or the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given into marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be." So Think of this compared for a second. That, you know, the sign of the ark, we'll say. Okay, so Jesus said they're only going to receive a sign of the resurrection, basically his resurrection. Okay, so comparing that, the earth was destroyed one time before, and that was when the flood happened. Was there a sign? Did they have a sign of a flood? I mean, I don't know about you, and I understand that, you know, maybe we could say, well, we have rain and we can make excuses for them and say, well, they have, you know, have reasons why they didn't believe Noah. But when someone's building an ark, maybe it'd be a little bit of a sign that something's going on. Was there opportunity for salvation? And was the sign that they saw actually the means of their salvation? Now we know that I think it's in Hebrews, it talks about, maybe it's in 1 Peter, that talks about Noah was a preacher of righteousness. See, there was the sign that they had that the flood, the sign wasn't the water falling from the sky. The sign was that there was an ark being built, a means of salvation for them that was going to prove that was coming. And Noah, being a preacher of righteousness, was the one building it. And they knew something was coming. Now, just think that for a second. Turn to Matthew 28. Now, we know that Jesus is saying that he told them the only sign that they would receive was the sign of Jonah. Just as he was 3 days and three nights in the sea monster, so the Son of Man will be three days and three nights in the belly or the heart of the earth. So in Matthew 28, this is after Jesus resurrected here, and after the guards went away. In verse 11, it says, "And while they were on their way, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. And when they had assembled the elders and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while you were sleeping. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they were had been instructed. And the story is widely spread among the Jews, and is to this day." So, did they see the sign? The Pharisees knew, and the chief priests and the elders knew that Jesus resurrected from the dead. They knew that he. Had because of the report of the guards, and they paid to cover it up. So they saw the sign. There's an opportunity of salvation, and the sign that they saw was actually the means of salvation. See, the witness that Jesus is saying, when he is saying that don't believe that I'm the Son of Man just because I'm saying it from my own mouth. Believe that I'm the Son of Man by what I do and what you see. Because if you go on later in John, he talks about that you won't understand until I'm lifted up. You're not going to understand that I'm the Son of God, I think that's in John 8, until I'm lifted up. Now, obviously, not all of them did that. Most of them didn't understand, but there were some that did understand. See, Jesus didn't let just his spoken word, he didn't just rely on that. Because if he was bearing witness of himself, his witness isn't true. But on the testimony of two or three witnesses, or more witnesses if you want to go more further than that, the testimony is true. Because not only does Jesus bear witness of himself, the Father bears witness of him, the Scripture bears witness of him, his works bear witness of him, the Holy Spirit bears witness of him. And what God did when he resurrected from the dead. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we'll start in verse 25, and this is Peter talking here, but he's quoting David. He's quoting David from Psalm 16, 8 through 11. In verse 25, he says, "And David says of him, 'I was beholding the Lord, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, and he is at my right, for he is at my right hand, that I should not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor wilt thou allow the Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay." Look at what he's saying there, is that he is talking about a sign or something that's going to bear witness of the king that's going to sit on his throne forever. And Peter's saying that David, being a prophet, knowing that God was going to seat someone on his throne, looked ahead and pointed to the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus is saying that I'm not going to bear witness of myself, but there's another that's going to bear witness of me. And therefore, the testimony is going to be true. Now, what do you think about did the Pharisees and the chief priests and the elders, were they not looking for the kingdom? That's really why they killed Jesus, is that they were looking for the kingdom. It just didn't look how they thought it was. And so the very sign, the very witness that they had, is you have people today doing the same thing, that they look for these great signs when they already received the sign, and they've overlooked it because it's supposed to be something greater and bigger and better. Kind of have a little bit of the Naaman effect, where he was expecting Elisha to go and say, hey, do this great thing. But all he told him to do is dunk 7 times in the Jordan, and he went away mad. He wanted to do something bigger, something better. And sometimes it's overlooked. And Jesus is saying that, hey, the witness that I have isn't just my words, simply my words, but it's what I do. It's the works that I have. It's the sign. It's the resurrection from the dead. Turn ahead to Acts chapter 17. Now, Paul here, it's kind of known as the Sermon on Mars Hill, but he goes and he, in Acts 17, he's at Athens here, and he sees this altar to an unknown God. And they're kind of covering their bases here. But he goes and he has an opportunity to preach here. And in verse 30 of Acts chapter 17, he says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished faith to all men by raising him from the dead. Now, it's translated furnished proof there, but the word actually is the word for faith. We get our word faith or belief, okay? So he has furnished faith to all men by raising him from the dead, which therefore is a proof of that. But the point that I'm saying is that God, he fixed the day to judge the world, and he proved to people by raising Jesus from the dead. He proved to people that he has overlooked the time of ignorance before, but now he's declaring everywhere, all men everywhere should repent. And he proved to that by furnishing faith in people by raising from the dead, and therefore that's proof. I'm not saying that's the only thing. I'm saying is that when Noah's sitting there building the ark, is something going on? Wasn't there a little bit of a sign? Okay, so Jesus isn't relying on just his word alone that he is the Son of God. But there's others, there's another that's going to bear witness. And the things that bore witness of him, I mean, there's a multiple things, as we're going to see later on in John chapter 5 there. But they're not these big, well, resurrecting from the dead is a pretty big event. But it's not big to what the world sees now. The big event to the world sees now is when supposedly, even though it's not true, millions of Christians are lifted off the earth, and that must be a huge sign. See, they're overlooking the actual sign that they got, and they're looking for something different, just exactly like the Pharisees did. They overlooked the sign that they got because they were looking for something different. And so when we're looking at back in John chapter 5, just reading verse 32 again there, it says, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears is true. He's not just relying on his word. He's letting his actions, he's letting his works, he's letting the Father, he's letting the Scripture, he's letting the Holy Spirit, he's letting the resurrection from the dead prove who he is. Because based on testimony of two or three witnesses, it's true. But if it's just based on one, even though Jesus himself could have, he was right by bearing witness of himself, but he didn't rely just on that. He didn't expect us just to believe just because that's what he said that he was the Son of God. Just because he claimed, because there's a lot of guys that claim that they're the Son of God. Even today, there's guys that do that. But there's no, they don't have the works. They don't have the scripture bearing witness. They don't have the resurrection from the dead bearing witness of them. They don't have the Father bearing witness of them. And I think Jesus even says a little later in John chapter 8, he says, if someone comes in their own name, you're going to believe them. But I come in the name of the Father and you don't believe me. Because people are not looking, they're looking for a sign of their own desire. They're looking for proof outside of what God has done already. What God has established already. And so as we look there, and we kind of in this time, obviously we're probably never going to be out of the time, even when our great grandkids are preaching about against the rapture and stuff like that. It's always going to be, oh, the times are near, the times are near, the times are near. That's how it's always going to be, because people are always looking for something different than what the scripture says. They're always looking for something outside the scripture. So we don't want to miss what he has. What even if it seems small, it's actually not small. We don't want to miss that just because it's not what we have. It's not what we imagined it being, like the Pharisees did. So we're going to see some of that in the coming weeks here, that Jesus, there's who bears witness of Jesus and what bears witness of Jesus. But to leave with today, let's not overlook. When we go and read it, let's not overlook and expect, well, it's just kind of wasn't what I was expecting, so not really excited about it. Let's let the scripture speak. Let's let the witnesses show that Jesus just—he's not the Son of God because simply he says it by himself, but because of what he does and what the scripture says, and the Father bearing witness of him as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your scripture. Father, we thank you that you have proved yourself over and over, and that you are the one true God, that you are faithful. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We thank you for the understanding we can gain through studying and through the help of your Spirit, Father, that we can become conformed to your image, that we can be more like you. We thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.